Greetings again from Belfast, Northern Ireland. Today we're bringing you a special treat from a fabulous Irish artist who performed a one-woman show this year at Belfast Pride in August. It's important to note that today's episode contains profanity, suggestive language, and sexual content. So, for the first guest artist installment of Project Ireland, here is Gemma Hutton from the Black Box Theatre in Belfast City Centre performing her one-night-only, one-woman show, Hutton Dressed as Lamb.
I will show the music fucked up there, but sure. Hello, everybody! That was perfect. That's a change of thing. That's a change of thing. Hello, everybody! Two mics showing off. Are you as well? I know I've seen you before, but I feel like it's been fucking ages. So excuse me if I do have to pop off every so often and have a little beverage. Do apologise. Have you all got beverages? I was excited. Look, this is dying because William's so short. It's like a little hobbit, isn't it? I'm gonna put him on a key ring. Feed him stew. Get that money. The point was to kind of, I don't often get a chance to rant like this. So I just lured you all in with a picture of me with tits and a kebab. And it worked. It did. I think on reflection, it was kind of fucking sick of me to have lamb ears while sitting in a kebab, but yeah, a lot of vegetarians in tonight. Woo! Of course there fucking is. Do you think I was going to save the lamb? Silence the lamb. He's real shit-faced, aren't you? I've done this too long. You never go on first. You never let them... You never go in dry. Hey! It's really good because like what it did was it helped me find your level and I can't even get down to it. Mainly because of the knickers I'm wearing. Okay, but more about that later. So I did I performed a one-woman show when I was 27. Sorry?
Last year.
Okay. It's just in fucking Panto, but... We're going to turn this car around in a minute if you don't behave. One fucking sentence of the show I've got out so far. One that wasn't even the right line. So yes, tonight is a little bit more educational than my normal comedy shows because I kind of wanted to share just a little bit about where I am on my journey. I know, wanky, right? You don't care. But yeah, so I did my first one-woman show when I was about 27. And it was awesome. I had a director, I had set design, I had a theatre company behind me. Like literally the whole company right behind me. And had a costume designer. And a budget, and this time I had a packet of Lambert, two diazepam, and a laptop, which didn't even work in the end. Couldn't even buy a new good check shirt. That's not a joke, it's pretty fucking sad. Because we all know that lesbians like a fresh, damn, check fucking shirt. Well done for stereotyping yourselves. The DUP won tonight. This time, you've obviously seen the poster. Yeah, well, there it is. So it was a kebab on my underwear. So, yeah. So fucking, I mean, what do you want for $7.50? Do you know what I mean? Shall we just get on with the fucking show? Yeah, so I was about 27 when I decided to do the show. And I did for a number of reasons, because at 27 I kind of figured, okay, you've got your shit together, you've got yourself sorted, you know who you are, do a one-woman show in a Barbie box. Yeah, I know, right? I had met my partner, soon-to-be wife, so there's hope for everyone now, isn't there? Thanks. I met my redheaded partner with fantastic tits. And thank you. Yes, I do that every time. Woo! That's mostly an age thing. So anyone under 30, that will happen. Don't worry. Sorry, darling. Yeah, I know, but they're great pillows. Because we can't drive, so we can't get to IKEA for memory foam. But So I had met her. I was like, okay, so you're together, and you're with a girl. So you're a lesbian. You're a dildo wielding dyke. Batteries not included. Accessories sold separately. I'm from Bangor. Okay. So Bangor's a shithole. I didn't have to finish the sentence before you cheer, okay? This is the problem with Bangor. I didn't like kind of realize at the time, but I think I was kind of traumatized by that heteronormative scene that is Cafe Cule or whatever the fuck it's called. So I just said that place traumatized me, and they're all like, yeah! Trauma! It was a really abusive culture because I was the fat friend. I had bad skin. I have literally still not figured out makeup. For me, I learned army cadets to put on camouflage, and that's how I'm working it still. So I was the fat friend, so I just sort of had to, like, you know, go and order the taxi while you're getting fingered. I had been belittled and taken the piss out of because I was the fat friend who would probably never get fucked unless that last ugly guy with the lights went up went, fuck it, it's that or a wall. Panic, it's fine. I just kind of was like beaten down basically. And, it was around that time that I had sort of realised that I liked ladies. I did like ladies. And I'm pretty pleased how it turned out too. I was the president of the Drama Society. God, I wish this was all a lie. Don't clap drama, they're shit.
Shit.
Okay. Oh. Oh, sorry, Chloe. You've watched RuPaul, so now you can talk our language. So I sat down and I had basically worked my way through as many as possible. And I sat down in a committee meeting and looked around, and I had slept with every single woman. And no, I don't say that to shame, because if I was a boy right now, I'd be a fucking hero. And then I got the STD. No. Because girls can get them too, you know, just from licking pussies, just to let you know, okay? You're welcome, Rainbow Project. Dental dam. Honestly, I don't want to see shit over someone's face unless it's a gynecologist, you know what I mean? What is that about? I think the DUP invented dental dam. Cover their faces. Just go in with a fucking surgical mask. But it's okay, because it's chocolate flavoured. It's not chocolate flavoured, kids. And it doesn't mix well with vagina. I entered into the scene, and I got the new... Do you know, like, ladies or gents, you know when you're just fresh into the scene? Like, genuinely, I walked into the Kremlin, right? And I know, dead controversial me saying that word. I walked in and literally Tilly Von Trump was still there. It was back in the old days. And it was like, do you know that scene out of Jurassic Park when the Brontosaurus walks in front of the Jeep? Legit. I walked in and was like, not. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was when I found out she could open a bottle with her ass. Dead cultural, right? So I walked in and I was like, fuck, this is amazing. And my babe turned around and I said, I am not getting any action, because I was a cocky wee bastard. Like, I had a waist then, I could tie my shoelaces without being exhausted. Sure, these are slip on. And I was like, I'm not getting any action. And my mate turned around. I say mate, I knew them on the scene, so you know they're not fucking real. They're just puppets. She was like, do you know what it is, mate? You look too femme. I was like, that's what it is. I look too femme. So, what did I do? I cut all my fucking hair off. There is one picture in existence of this. My vagina gathered dust. Oh no, wait, I was engaged at the time. All right, no. Yeah, my vagina did gather dust then. Okay. I thought that if I butched myself up, I would get more action, and then I just remembered that I was actually engaged, so let's cut that whole thing out of the script, like it didn't happen. Just really blocked it out of my life. That's okay, because you don't know which engagement I'm talking about, because I'm a lesbian, and there could be nine. Go forward then to when I was doing the show, and I grew my hair out because I got a job in Hamleys, and essentially I had looked like an extra from Wentworth. For a long period of time, actually. So, when I did Lesbian Misconceptions, I was like, I'm sorted, I'm a lesbian because I'm with a girl and that's okay. And then I kind of had this revelation because Lesbian Misconceptions was put into Outburst Festival, which is the queer arts festival, as you know. So I was kind of just became exposed to this kind of like bohemian hedonistic world where, like, you know, people had excellent moustaches and, you know, they bought all their clothes in Rusty Zip and Instagrammed their dead different fingernails. And that's what I thought queer was. And then, you know, I went through it and... you know, because I was with this woman, I couldn't fancy men, I couldn't fancy transgender, I couldn't fancy drag queens, drag kings, I couldn't fancy all the spectrum, because I was with a girl and that was that. And then I learned something. Well, A, I'm horny, but B, that it was okay. And that we need to stop worrying about labels, okay? So, do you smell toast? Because that sounded a bit strokey. No, you're absolutely right, madam. You're absolutely right. You got a round of applause, and rightly so, for your support. See, if someone supports me, don't I just fucking destroy them? And then I go, they weren't very receptive to me. What was that about? So, I struggled with that social awkwardness because I was like, coming out again. I was like, no, I'm not a lesbian. I'm a bit of a queer, actually. And, you know, I thought there was going to be a stigma, but I think we're living in a society now where it's kind of, you know, it's a bit more norm. I mean, we can identify with queer. Some people don't like it. Fuck them. Because I learned two things about myself. There's only two boxes that you should ever care about in your life. And that's your own and the one you're trying to get into. So fast forward then, and I had done this show, and I was like, okay, well, you're a bit of a queer, that's all right, that's nice, you're still a Stacey, and no one has died, that's fine. You just change your Pornhub categories, it's okay. And there's the perverts, there we go. Yeah, I do prefer ex-hamster, but you know, I'm diverse. And I got to this sort of like midlife crisis bit, and the midlife crisis was kind of like, so, right, so you're still renting a house then, yeah? And okay, and where's all those kids you were going to have the time you were 30? And what about that degree that you swore to everybody in a big fucking speech in the middle of your nanny's living room when everyone was listening that you would definitely do something with worthwhile and they would all be sorry? Here I am. How's that diet going? That was another good one. I mean, that's all about perspective because you don't know how fat I was, so... yeah, fuck you. So this was all going on inside my head. Now, everybody has a breaking point. My first breaking point I remember was as a child at 8 years old. And I remember it because we were in the Giant's Causeway for my 8th birthday, which is in August. And just in case I'd forgotten many of the stone constructions for the previous 7 years of my fucking life. And I remember because we were in like, I was in, I've probably told this before, but I was in neon pink cycling shorts. And my mom used to put me in animal print ones, but then we walked past a field and a bull tried to mount me. So we went for neon for that trip. You know what, he was just misunderstood. And we still Skype. But yeah, so my parents used to like draw smiley faces on my knees and give me a bum bag of like chocolate buttons so that I keep walking. So I was like, hey, hey, woohoo, buttons. And that's how they got me around the causeway every year. But my eighth, so we went away, and I remember like having a full-on fucking tantrum because I was made to move out of the car. I was chubby. I remember that Christmas I wanted a Supergirl bike. I don't know if anyone was born in the 80s. Do you remember like Supergirl bikes? They were like pink and white, and they'd streamers down the handles, and they had these fucking cyclone like rims, and the wheels were fucking pink. Pardon? You remember 90s? You had one of them in the 90s? Okay. Well, you had one as well. That's great, because you know what? I asked Santa for that year, and I got a sleeping bag and a Man United hat. So thank you. The one time the fat kid wanted fucking exercise. Brieflings are a bit shitty. If anyone hasn't had one, don't recommend them. I would give them at least one out of four aisles on TripAdvisor. So what I did was I started pushing all my friends and family away, because if you're going to have a good breakdown, you don't want somebody that can read you and see what you're up to, you know? So that's hilarious. Cruel bastards over there. Cruel bastards. So I had this breakdown and I pushed everybody away, and at the time I was working in Titanic building. Banger again. Was the worst job of my life. You gotta wait for the end of the sentence, okay? And next week we'll do shapes. Alright. I don't know if you've been, has anyone been? Yeah. Okay. Oh well. And I had to wear, I'm sweating like a cunt right now, and I'm just wearing life clothes. So they put me, these are life clothes, I don't even know what that means. And I had to wear this flannel granddad shirt. Fuck. And braces. And a flat cap, and this long apron. And I think the first sort of bit that started the snap was when I had to go to my manager and go, can I not wear braces because they keep picking off my massive tits? Don't know if you've ever tried it, to wear braces, ladies, with big knockers. It's not gonna happen. It's not like them fucking fire calendars that you see. I wasn't standing behind the counter selling sausage rolls like this. I left there to work in a nightclub. So that was another good thing for having a good breakdown, because then I worked all night and I slept all day, so I didn't have to see any cunts. My final coup was that I would push away my mermaid, my partner. Don't share that, fucking hell, you dark bastards. I pushed away my partner, and I decided that I would move into this snot-coloured room in the downstairs of a terrace house in Donegal Parade, where I lived with a man. I shit you not, this is real. Every fucking morning there was a washing machine outside my door downstairs, and he used to sit on it until I got up to jump out on me every morning, and thought it was as hilarious as the first fucking time. But what that taught me was that it was a fucking mess, and B, it was probably actually a fucking miracle that I had ever had a partner in the first place, because I'm not very smooth. I get across, like, on stage, I'm like smooth operator, yes, thank you, I'm peanut butter jelly, but then when I go into like real life situations, I'm fucking terrible. Like, genuinely, like if Rain Man got drunk and didn't have a script, that's how I get on. But I did this part in the show the last time, and sound engineer, if we could have a little bit of Dimitri, that would be rather lovely. That is girl. That's amazing. There's your head going there. I feel like Quagmire, whatever it is. So I did this. I know, that's the banger coming out of me, Quagmire. So I did this part in a show where I practiced some chat up lines. So chat up lines. This went really well the last time.
Very good.
It did look very good. So what I did was, I picked this girl and brought her up on stage, and I just thought I'd see what would happen. And do you know what? She did so fucking well. She came back tonight. Hello, Chloe. Please go off and look at Chloe. Can I offer you a drink? This is like Alan Carr now, isn't it? You're really getting value for money. You don't even have to watch it on Plus One.
Can I just say, I actually didn't know this was going to happen.
No, she didn't. Can we tell everybody how this happened?
Chloe came to my show, and I didn't know her, and I randomly asked her up on stage, and I was like, okay, so what I'd like to do is try some channel blinds on you. And she was like, okay. And I was like, so are you going to Pride? And she was like, no, I'm a Christian. Will you be protesting against us? And she replied, no, I'm working tomorrow.
I had to say, no, as in, like, I support the gay regime. And then...
second show, second chance. And we have a regime. So long story short was that I fell in love with Chloe from that moment, and she was awesome, and we became friends and Mighty Fingers girls.
There's no work in that.
You're welcome. Anyway, fuck up. Right, so good to have you here.
No, that's absolute. That's,
thank you.
It's
part of my regime to pay. Very simple. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try some of my fresh, new, twisted channel blinds that people... No, don't look at those. It's just that we saved paper because I asked a vegan to print these for me. So
well, vegans would have definitely not printed them like this.
Vegans are smart, okay? Vegans are fucking... Don't look at
me. I am a vegetarian, okay? And I would not have done it like this.
I'm a vegetarian. That's not brown. Okay, so what am I going to do... So I'm going to try these lines, okay? And I would like you to give us a score. You can join in and help here, okay? Because you're part of this. You're part of this. You don't want to be, but you are. Okay, so the first one is... These aren't all mine. Are you Wi-Fi? Because I feel a connection. 10's awesome. 10's like you're definitely getting bucked. 1 is... No. Jordan, not worry.
You think 2.
2. 2, okay.
Honestly, I would have given a 4 for that.
I know, but that's why you've slept with so many people. So, I feel like this has turned into Golden Girls. I'm kind of liking it. Picture it, Sicily.
1918.
I'm definitely Dorothy, okay? And you are definitely Blanche. If I had to rate you between 1 and 10, you'd be a 9. Because I'm the one you're missing.
Going for a 2 in that one.
Okay, that's fine. I got more for you, bitch. I got more for you. I don't even remember your name. So, excuse me, I think I dropped something. My pants.
Oh! That is an 9 for me. That is, that's gonna be an 8 for me.
Oh, I got an 8. There's one bra dropped on. Okay, hey, I'm looking for treasure. Can I look around your chest?
Yes!
The only STD I have is sexually transmitted desire from you.
I'm sorry for anyone who's going lower than that.
Okay, so I had to do it, like, because there's obviously looks in the room as well, so let's play fair.
I'm an equal opportunities employer.
She dabbles. That's what we're calling it. Are you a musician vampire? Because my organ is filling up with blood.
I'm
going to
give
that
a 5.
You give that a 5? You have no standards, Chloe. I don't know you. Okay. No, that's this one. This one's fucking good because it's like current and shit. Okay, so Charmanders are red, Mudkips are blue. If you were a Pokemon, I'd choo-choo you.
Oh, fuck's sake, call the police, that's amazing.
Could you get call the police?
That's an 11.
I forgot how funny I was when I typed that out. That's okay. You are hotter than the bottom of my laptop.
I had a fan that didn't work for ages, so that's a 10.
I knew that would work. Is that a mirror in your pocket? Because I can see myself in your pants. Fingered. Okay, listen, Chloe, thank you so much. Give it up for our beautiful Chloe. So, one thing I learned as well then was in a relationship, I really can't adult. You know what adulting is, yeah? Some of you may have done it. So I can't fucking adult for myself at all. And I don't know, like, if you're not sure if you are adulting or not, I have some questions that you normally ask yourselves. 2 seconds. Okay. It's like that song. Okay, so have you ever decided that washing your underwear was a preferred choice to turning it inside out that day? Can you cook a meal without burning it or that doesn't involve a microwave? Do you sometimes cry when you wank because your pet is looking at you while you do it but you just can't stop? Do you pay your bills on time? Do you ever steal loo roll from work instead of going to the shop to buy it? That one hit home. If you've answered yes to at least 3 of these questions, then congratulations! You're adulting! So one of the penultimate things I want to talk about tonight is that I've got a lot of abuse from working in the LGBT scene. I'm the only woman really that I know of that's worked in it, entertainment wise, and it's I did stand-up comedy for years beforehand, and then people that see me do stand-up comedy came and saw me working with the drag queens.
There's your missus!
Okay, thank you. Tourette's is a real thing, alright? So, maybe you two could meet up and fuck off. So people would come and see me working with the drag queens, and I would get a lot of abuse for it, because like the people that came and saw my comedy were like, you fucking changed, mate. You changed how you work. You act differently, you talk, sorry, you act differently, you're not, sorry, can I, 2 seconds.
Like people say that I act differently, I talk differently, but personally I just don't see it myself. No. I work with drag queens on a weekly basis, and everybody just says to me, you know, you're very, very different now, but I am the same woman now as I was back then. Although I am a lot better at makeup, because working with men who dress as women every week actually teaches you a lot of shit. And to be honest, knowing that these men do it on a weekly basis and can look better than most average women in the street is fantastic. So now I actually know how to blend, how to contour. Depending on my mood, I can be fierce as fuck. I can be like really sculpted. For those of you who don't know what that just means contour. Like cheekbones, like these. Or I can be like really femme and really fishy. Fishy. Yes, that means passable as a woman as well. I feel like I'm doing educational lessons as well. Like, see, I told you it was gonna be educational. I said it at the top of the show. Did I not? So, working with the drag queens, everybody's like, Gemma, you're such a drag queen. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Honestly, I'm just, like, actually a biological woman. So, I just know my own shit. So I do. And to be honest, like, as much as it is working with drag queens, I am a biological woman. Not just a psychological woman. And there is nothing wrong with this body, because this body is amazing. Because I do not have body issues, as I said earlier on. And there is nothing wrong with being a little bit confident.
So, yeah, what I'm saying is basically everyone's talking shit about me being like a drag queen, so fuck them. Thank you, Misty. So can I have actually the dress? Misty, give me the fucking dress.
No, you can't have the dress.
Misty, give me the fucking dress.
No, you're standing in your underwear.
Give me the fucking dress. Okay, fuck you. Alright, so let's just talk about body shame then. We're finishing off tonight. I'm standing in my underwear because I actually really couldn't give a flying fuck anymore. Bottom line is, it's the same as like, you know, Missy was joking about being a biological woman, because really it doesn't matter what's between your legs, it's what's between your ears. And it really doesn't matter what outfit you wear, because if you enjoy it, it's fucking fierce. And it really doesn't matter what size of body you have, because as long as you love yourself and the person that loves you likes it, it really doesn't fucking matter about anybody else. So what I'm saying is, I don't care what you fucking look like, how you walk, talk or act, if you love you, then everyone else will, and fuck the ones that don't. I said that I wanted to use my voice tonight, and I hope I have explained a little bit about where I'm at and how I feel about things. And since I hit 30, I got like kind of grumpy about things. Like when I seen Orlando, it didn't just happen to somebody else, it happened to our family. And they're still dead. And that's not gonna change. But what we can do is make sure it doesn't fucking happen again. And we're not gonna be able to do that until we take a stand. And we fight and we protest. And that's what tomorrow's about. It's great we're having all these street parties. It's great that you have your favourite bars, your favourite queens. But it really doesn't mean fuck all whenever I'm getting married in 4 weeks and have to call it civil marriage. It really doesn't matter how happy you are that a drag queen's in the Belfast Telegraph when our trans brothers and sisters are getting abuse in the fucking street for living. Okay? None of that matters. What does matter is that we don't segregate ourselves further. We have allies out there, and we need to use them, because Northern Ireland is not going to change just by us marching once a year. It has to continue. I started the Ask Arlene tweet and on Facebook, and I've asked her about 175 questions since Orlando, and I haven't had one answered. Okay? So let me just say, tomorrow I am wearing a dress, and Arlene will get the message loud and fucking clear. And equality, when we talk about equality, it's not just about equal marriage. It's not just about blood bands. It's not just about all of the issues that we fight for, which are warranted and fantastic. It's equality means everyone. We don't just stop when we get what we want as an individual. We've got to help each other. That's what allies are for. So when Orlando happened, it really hit me and some friends really fucking hard. And we just said, we can't stand by and mute our voices. We're going to use them, which is what I'm trying to do tonight. And one of the things I had noticed was that people were really aggressive about our straight friends, because people got angry about the gorilla that got killed, but they weren't supporting LGBT rights when Orlando happened. And okay, do you know what? Some people didn't, but some people did. And they're the people we need to keep on board. Hey, you know what? It's a comedy show, but you know what? Like I said, I have a voice and I want to fucking use it. So here's the bottom line of what I want to say before we go tomorrow and we show that we mean fucking business, alright? And that is that today is Arlene's day, but tomorrow is ours. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tonight! Thank you!
And that was Gemma Hutton performing her solo comedy piece, Hutton Dressed as Lamb. You can find Gemma on Twitter at GHOTHIPS and every Sunday at the Maverick Bar in Belfast as the MC of the Sunday Service Drag Show. Special thanks to Belfast Pride for making Hutton Dressed as Lamb happen and the Black Box Theatre for the use of their lovely venue. If you've enjoyed this special episode of Smash Cut in our project season in Ireland, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. It helps us stay on the charts and exposes us to new listeners all over the world. You can find us on Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, and Twitter at Smash Cut Cast, and on our website, www.smashcutthepodcast.com. We also have a Patreon running at patreon.com/smashcutcast or through the support tab on our home site. We at the Smash Cut team, both in Belfast and back in Baton Rouge, hope that you've enjoyed today's episode, and we will be seeing you next month with another piece of Project Ireland. Thanks for listening.
Two guys and a rogue.
I'm one guy.
I'm the other.
And this is the network.